Well, yes, that's sort of hard to answer, particularly in light of Bakke and the word quota. I get nervous about answering that, and particularly to non-lawyers. But let me try and phrase it in sort of terms that I think we can understand. At West Point, when the law passed that said that you would take women into West Point, it said consistent with military needs. And that meant that the Army could impose certain limitations on the number. You wouldn't have 100% of the class being women. And they have made predictions of how many women officers they can use consistent with the combat restriction. And that's where you really get into trouble, because once you have a combat restriction, since the Army's main goal is combat, obviously you have to have primarily combat officers or combat enlisted men. So they decided on a certain percentage as to how many women officers they would need. What is very interesting is we would have taken more women than we actually took, and there weren't enough applications for the positions. And
In the Army, the Navy, Marine.
The Navy. That's right. No. The Navy, I believe, had a number limitation or a percentage limitation. The Army never had that. It was simply just a matter of how many openings there were in certain MOSs. And since certain MOSs were closed to women, that did put a ceiling on the number of women that there could be. We are Well, that wasn't statutory, though. That was simply in terms of how many MOSs, how many things were open. There were, 4%, 10 years ago, I don't have the exact figures, but in 74, 4% of the Army was women. And 76, it was 7%, and 77, it's 7%. And we are now going to take about 80%. Or not 80%, about 80,000 women instead of 50,000, which would be about 10%. That's absolutely right. There is a significant problem, and I think that the problem will become a very real one when the women who started at West Point and graduate in 80 become graduates, because these are women who have gone through 4 years of very rugged training and who very much want a military career. And if they want to be a four-star general, they're going to damn well have to get into a combat arms. There's no question about it. And I think that that's when we're going to face the real crunch, when there's going to be a real press. Right now, to be very honest with you, the women that I have talked to do not really want to go into combat. They enlisted in the Army mostly in the traditional skills as clerical help, and they don't want to go and fight. The women at West Point, some of them feel the same way. Some of them want maybe to be engineers, but they don't want to be combat engineers. They would like to be in the Corps of Engineers Civil Works Division. And but there are some there who are going to want to have a true military career. And that's where we're going to have a problem. I don't know anything about that. I've met women paratroopers from Fort Bragg who are still there. I'm not aware of any problem, but I will certainly inquire when I get back, though. No, the only problem is that veterans are almost always men.
Yes.
So so the veterans' benefits go to men because women haven't been permitted to become veterans. Another thing that we're looking at is in terms of the veterans' preference in civil service jobs. And there is legislation afoot to limit the veterans' preference to your first job after the service, sort of as saying, okay, you gave up a lot of years of your life for your country, and so therefore you're entitled to some preference right now, but that would only be a one-time thing. Army Regulation 380.13 is a regulation that limits the information that the U.S. Army can collect on U.S. citizens. Yes?
I'm a chief of budget engineer at Fort Monroe, which is one of the high on the Army list of closeouts. I'm a federal women's programmer. I find it, this is a general comment, I find it very difficult to deal with, I'm a voting member of the PBAC board, which is the budgetary board. I find it very difficult to deal with women. How can you sit there and encourage them to reach out and go an upper mobility when you can't get it financed? How can you reach out and get them training when it's not financed? How can you reach out and send them somewhere a job when there is no job there? And at the same time, your mom and dad goes out of your mouth, continue marching, honey, the world is rosy. And I think everybody at this point at Monroe, close it or shut your mouth off and finance it. I mean, you know, we're all willing to move somewhere or we're willing to go in another job. But when the Army won't make up their mind what they want to do, in the meantime, everybody needs to stay and rot. I'm one of the highest grade women on post, and I'm an I. And the next lady in my office to me is a 5. And I only have one GS-11 woman on post that just made a 12. One 12 on the installation is a woman, and 3 of us that are 9s. Now, you call that progression?
Women have a long way to go, there's no question. That was only the Marines, I'm afraid. The question was whether the Judge Advocate General had stopped sending female law students recruiting posters saying, we're looking for a few good men. And the answer is that it was only the Marines that did that. And the fact is, not only do we have a lot of women, but we've been recruiting a lot of married couples. And the Judge Advocate General Corps will promise to assign the couple together so that they won't be separated. And we have a lot of married couples, and it's really sort of an exciting career opportunity. I don't think so. Okay, that question related again to the problem of uniforms and the design of uniforms. And it really, you know how long it takes to get a new uniform designed? It takes years. The interesting thing is that the Navy just finally said, this is ridiculous. We have a problem with pregnancy because there is no pregnancy uniform. And so that meant literally that soldiers who were pregnant wore civilian clothes. And it was just very disruptive. The pregnant soldier didn't like it. Her compatriots didn't like it. The commanders didn't like it. But it was so expensive to design a uniform that everybody sort of said, well, we won't do anything. Well, the Navy said, that's baloney. And they sent someone into a store, picked out the most attractive-looking thing they could find, and they copied it. And it took them almost no time and hardly any money, and now the Navy has a maternity uniform. The Air Force and the Army do not, but... I think, you know, that's a societal problem. You know, the world has to change. But I think the message is going out to commanders by the fact that the Secretary of the Army, the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Manpower, and myself are extraordinarily interested in women, both the military and the civilian half, and that whenever we can, we mention the fact, the changes we're making. I mean, the fact that combat is being redefined, the fact that we're looking at pregnancy policies and maternity uniforms. These are little things, but the message goes out. The fact that we ordered there to be women commanders for integrated units is important. The fact that we're going to make sure that there are women tactical officers and women faculty members at West Point. It doesn't take long for the Army to get the message as to where the Secretary's priorities are, and they now know that both in terms of racial and sexual integration, it is something that is a very high priority of the Secretary of the Army. And, you know, what else can you really do? You can order it and, you know, you can say, have a good attitude. It won't happen. But by setting an example, I hope that it will.
What about homosexuality, transsexual women, lesbians?
Well, JAG Corps, for example, has just been barred from recruiting at NYU Law School because the Army does discriminate on the basis of sexual preference. They do discriminate on the basis of sexual preference. There's no question. They do discriminate on the basis of... Oh, no, no. It's just the NYU Law School asks the question of anybody they permit to recruit, do you discriminate on the basis of sexual preference? And the JAG Corps answered yes. And so they were barred from recruiting. And the answer to your question is there is discrimination.
I'd just like to make a comment. I'm a major command coordinator for the Army. And I'm one of the Army. I find much more support personally from among the active duty military officers for women's programs than among the senior level and, believe me, almost every job at a DS-9 and above these things.
Well, we do have an equal opportunity program that is being expanded in terms of the civilian people. It has been set up now in the Secretary for Manpower's office, and we are, you know, trying to expand it. Would they permit men to go to a male program? Are you saying, would they permit men to go to an all-male? Then you ought to write letters of complaint to the Army Secretary. I mean, if we don't know about these things, there's nothing we can do about it. But there is a deep concern in the Army Secretariat, and if you write letters and let us know, it's possible to make changes. Well, right now, 98% of all the occupational specialties are already open. However, it is, if you look at it in terms of numbers of people, the remaining 2% takes up a large percentage of the total population of the Army. And no, you won't, because you still have a large number of people who are actually in what we would call closing with and destroying the enemy, the people who actually shoot guns at the enemy and drive tanks and... But you would open up, for example, pushing the button on a missile launcher way behind the lines. That might be opened up. But you still are going to have severe numbers restrictions.
How much
Well, of course, right now, thank heavens, there is no combat, and I hope that we can look forward to a forever of no combat. But it is a fact that the Army has to be prepared for that. And unlike the Air Force and the Navy, the main mission of the Army is physical combat in a way unlike the Navy and the Air Force. It is actual contact with an enemy. It's where you see your enemy. It is not the same as being in an airplane and dropping a bomb. Now, for example, the Navy has other problems, even though it's not that kind of the combat problem in that sense. But you have housing in a ship, and that presents a different kind of problem for the integration of women. Well, of course, it always comes down to money, and it's a question. There just isn't enough money for everything in the Army, be it women or weapons or housing for soldiers. There are soldiers living in slums, and that's a shame. Those are congressional mandated problems because of the difference between appropriated and non-appropriated funds. And, well, you can lobby Congress to change that. But that's something that is totally within congressional jurisdiction. Apparently, I have run out of time.
We want to thank you very, very much, Jill Weinvollner, for your very inspiring speech and very informative. We want to thank all of you for your attention. And because of popular demand and orders from the IWY Secretariat, the next session will be held in the room opposite the press room because the press wanted to set up cameras for Midge Costanza. In 217, room 217, I would appreciate all of you coming. Thank you.